Luke chapter 10, as we continue to work our way through Luke. And why don't we just pray and ask God to pour out His Spirit on us today. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You, Lord, for this morning. And truly, it is exciting serving You. Lord, we never know what's around the corner. We never know what You have in store, but we know, Lord, that it's great things. And just getting to be a part of Your work and watching You work is exciting. Truly, Lord, we feel like spectators sitting on the sidelines saying, go, Lord, go. And we love it. And we thank You that we get to be a part of it, Lord. We thank You that You've called us to be Your own. And Lord, as we look at Your word today and as we see further what You've called us to be and to do, Lord, we ask You would stir our hearts. God, move us the way You moved Your early disciples. Lord, that we would have the same conviction, the same fire, and the same drive, Lord, to get the message out that You died for mankind and that You love them. And Lord, that they too could be a part of this wonderful family we call Christianity. We love You, Lord. We ask now You'd open Your word to us. We ask You would teach us. We ask You would feed us. And Lord, we look forward to what You have in store today. In Jesus' name, amen. In your bulletins, you'll notice there the title today, Called to Missions. And you might think, hey, wait a minute, called to missions. I'm not called to missions. Hey, did you know that you are a missionary? Truly, you are. Now, we tend to think, what's our mindset of missions? Our mindset of missions is somebody who's heading out, they go to a foreign mission field, we send support or you do whatever, and you go and you share the gospel somewhere else. But guys, this right here is a mission field where we live, and everywhere we are is a mission field. The Lord has commissioned us to go out in His name and to spread the gospel. Now, there are different types. There are the types that go out, there are the types that send out, and there are the types that right here. I mean, if every Christian left Knoxville, where would the witness be? And again, at the same time, we're called to go. So what does that mean? Well, if we're not called to go outside of Knoxville, we're called to go inside of Knoxville. And God is expecting all of us to step out and to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Now, don't be intimidated by that, because we're going to see that God never calls us to do anything that He doesn't give us the ability to do. But guys, being a missionary it's simply being on a mission. And that's exactly what we are. We are missionaries on a mission, sharing the good news, even within this church. This is the mission field this morning. Now, again, we don't wait for the mission field to come to us, because again, the world's not going to be reached that way. But God brings people even in the church, and He's brought them in churches all over Knoxville and all over the United States this morning to simply share the good news with them. So the mission field is anywhere that you are. You need to have that mindset. We need to have that understanding as believers. Jesus said this in Mark 16. You know the verse. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is, go on, everywhere. That means in your family. That means at work. That means all over the place. Now, you would think this seems obvious that this is referring to people and not animals. But some people apparently don't think so. It's interesting. I ran across an article here just this week called Different Drumbeats, and I've got to read it to you. It's talking about the gospel, and listen what it says. St. Francis Episcopal Church in Stamford, Connecticut is now giving Holy Communion to pets and offering them special worship services as a part of a new monthly initiative. Not all members are happy with the animals attending their services, however. One longtime parishioner complained that his relative had an allergy attack and that allowing dogs at the after-church coffee could lead to children being bitten. The Wall Street Journal reports that some clergy are welcoming animals into the flock because of the fall in church attendance numbers. How many go to your church? People or dogs? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. And some clergy now provide pet-friendly worship services, house calls for sick animals, and officiating at pet funerals. It ends by saying this, inquiring minds want to know if the animals tithe. Guys, that's not what the Lord meant when He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Obviously, when He said, preach it to every creature, He's not talking about animals. He's talking about preaching it to people. But although we joke and we see sometimes the things, the silliness that can happen, guys, the bottom line is we are called to share. And you know what's interesting? As we're going to see today, the Lord said that the harvest is ripe. You know, there are different phases of someone being led to the Lord. There's the person who plants the seed. There's the person who waters. And then God is the one, the Bible says, that gives the increase and brings them to the place where they're ready to be harvested, so to speak. But realize this, around you in your everyday life, you have people in all those phases. Sometimes you're planting a seed. All you do is tell them the gospel. Like, well, that's nice and all, but I'm not interested. There's a seed planted. And maybe you go to someone and you share again. They say, yeah, my cousin was telling me about that and all, but I don't really know what I think about it. Now you're watering. And then one day you may be sharing, hey, has anybody ever just talked to you about the Lord and how much he loves you and that you can know him on a personal basis? And they say, really, tell me about that. And now you're there for the harvest. Whatever stage it's at, guys, it's a continual process. Here's my encouragement. Don't be afraid to see what stage the people around you are in. Don't be afraid to share. They may be in that place where you're planting the first seeds, where you're doing the watering, and yet they may be at the place where you're actually bringing the harvest. It's an exciting opportunity, and that's really what we're called to do as believers. Now, as missionaries, and not just those that go on the field, but as missionaries, there are four different things that I really want to point out today in this passage as we get into. First of all, the privilege. Second, the hardship. Thirdly, the blessing. And then lastly, the power. Notice here to begin with the privilege. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Now, notice what he says here. It says he himself, Jesus was sending them to proclaim what he himself came into the world to proclaim. Guys, that's exciting news. Get the picture. Jesus came into the world to say this. Guess what? All of mankind is condemned. Hear me again. All of mankind is condemned. This is the Lord's message. Let me finish. All of mankind is condemned. I have come to make sure you don't have to be in that condemnation. All you have to do is receive me as your Lord and Savior. I will pay for the sins that now have you separate and condemned and part are being out of the kingdom. I will do that for you if you will give your life to me. That's good news. Guys, that's an exciting message. Now, I get to share with you exciting things behind the scenes that happen in the ministry, like even today's announcement about what's going on with the land and the building. I get to share that, and that's exciting. I get to see this stuff, but I'm dedicated to sharing that stuff with you guys because I want you to get to have fun too. I want you to get to be a part of it. It's us. We're a family. We all get to enjoy it. We all get to be excited. We all get to look at what the Lord's doing and say, God, you are great, truly as spectators. But guys, if that message is fun to share, how much more the message of eternal life? See, Jesus Christ came, he himself, to say, I've come to save you all. Nobody has to be separate from God. Yes, that's your future now, but I've come to change that. I've come to give myself for you if you will believe. We get the privilege of going and saying what he himself says. Guys, it's an honor. It is a privilege. You have a message that the world needs to hear. They may mock. They may make fun. You may feel awkward. But guys, at the end of the day, I don't think that any of us are going to regret one single time that we shared the gospel. I don't think any of us are going to be standing in the kingdom going, man, I wish I hadn't shared with that guy. Now, some of you down here might be saying that, you know, share with him, he got saved, now I've got to love him. I don't know what you're thinking, but the point is, guys, nobody's going to get there and say, you know what, I wish I had just been a little bit more laid back. I wish I had just kind of not really gone for it as much. I wish I had just taken it easy and not really tried to force my view on others. How many of us you think are going to say that when we're in the kingdom? Guys, I think what we're going to be saying in the kingdom is this. Oh, Lord, thank you. This is so great to be here. I'm so excited, but how I wish. Oh, Lord, how I wish that I would have been more for you. How I wish I just would have said, you know what? I don't care if my friends don't like me anymore. It doesn't seem to matter now, Lord, now that we're in the kingdom, now that I'm seeing eternity from this viewpoint, what does it matter that I don't have as many friends? It doesn't seem to matter that mom and dad got so mad at me. It doesn't seem to matter that maybe society made fun of me. Lord, that just doesn't seem to matter right now. And yet right now, see, what matters to us? What the Lord is challenging the disciples to here and what he's challenging us is, hey, listen, this is an honor. This is a privilege. The world may make fun, but guys, we have a message straight from heaven that is the only answer for mankind eternally. That's exciting. And yet sometimes rather than a privilege, I think we look at it as a burden. You know, it's like, well, I think I should. Maybe we feel guilty because we don't share. But remember, and again, as we're going to see, the fourth thing we're going to look at today, coming with the call to missions is what? The power. The Lord's not going to call you to do something he doesn't give you the power to do. I still look at Paul and I'm just amazed. Paul says, pray for me that I would be bold. This is Paul. Paul says, pray that I would be bold. I'm thinking, who could be bolder than Paul? I mean, Paul, everywhere he went, a riot broke out because of his boldness. I mean, Paul was always sharing and it wasn't always received well. And yet Paul, when he writes to the church in more than one place, says, please pray for me that I would be bold. You know why? Because we lose our boldness, don't we, when the heat comes on. That's how we are. We're weak. God knows that. But he says, look, I've got the answer. You seek me for the power. You ask me for the power. I'll give you the boldness. And that's exactly what the Lord, again, is going to do for these guys, as we're going to see here. Now, he's telling the exciting news again, this privilege here. And notice he appointed 70. Notice here he says he appointed 70 also. Now, why does it say 70 also? Remember earlier, he appointed the 12. That is the 12 apostles, and he sent them out. Now he appoints 70 more to send out. And guys, I believe there's something very symbolic here in what the Lord was doing. And why do I say that? Well, the scripture says that Jesus came first, what? For the Jew. He came for the nation of Israel first, the Jew, and then he came for the Gentiles, the rest of the world. Remember, the Jews are broken up into what? The 12 tribes of Israel. And I believe that as the Lord sent out the 12, what he was saying to the nation of Israel is, I have come, your Messiah. I'm sending out these 12 representatives, symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel, to give you first option to come to me, your Messiah. But now you see the Lord is headed toward the cross. And remember, after he said he came for the Jew, who did he come for next? He came for us, the Gentiles. It's interesting. Genesis chapter 10 tells us that God has broken the world up in 70 different groupings, 70 different nations. Now, we haven't broken up in much larger portions, but to the Jews, it represented the number 70 here to them represented the nations of the world. What the Lord was saying was, it's not just for the Jew. I've come for the Gentile. I've come for all. And now, even as he sent out his first missionaries, now he's sending out his second missionaries. And guys, today, he's sending you out. Now you are the next wave of missionaries. Each generation is responsible to spread the gospel. I believe the generation before us, and again, I'm holding us responsible for this generation, and I think that in some ways we are failing as well. But I think that in some ways the generation before us possibly failed in some degree too when I look at the way that our nation's going. Has there been the strong enough stand for the truth of God's word in the Bible? There should have been. Listen, this is not to beat us no matter what generation we're from. I'm saying I believe this generation right now is failing. And guys, we need to be realizing that God has called us with a privilege to step out and to share the word of God. Now, when I say failing, understand, I'm not saying that there aren't those that are sharing. There's not the part of the church that's not standing up and speaking the truth as they should. I'm saying I think that in the eyes of political correctness and tolerance, we've allowed the world to shy us down some. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. Obnoxious is not the answer. That's not going to reach anybody. I'm talking about boldness to share the truth in love, even if it's not received. You see, that's what the gospel is about. That's what this mission of 70 was to do. They were to go out before the Lord and tell that he was on his way and to give his message. And notice this principle here of missions. Again, this is more of foreign missions than local. He sent them out two by two. This is extremely important. And I'll make an application both ways. Why is it extremely important? Well, two by two, listen, if one is down, the other is there to pick them up. If one stumbles, the other one catches them. It's teamwork. They work together like a team, even as we have the body of Christ here in Knoxville. You see, when you guys go out and share, sometimes you get beat up a little bit. Maybe not physically, but by the enemy and maybe by people that mock you or make fun. You come back in, you get built up. We are, in essence, two by two, if you will, encouraging each other. You're not alone in this thing. But secondly, I think it's important to note here that going out in missions, two by two, it's always wise to go out with someone else and not go alone. How many men and women have fallen on the mission field? It's an occurrence that's way more common that I think that the church would like to admit. But if we follow the basic principles, that is two by two, we have our protection in place. And notice he says in verse 2, and then he says to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Now notice this, a lot of work to do, but few people doing it. I have found this to be true again in the ministry. Wait, just a principle that holds true. There's piles of work to be done, and typically there's a smaller portion of people that actually step out and do it. Now, that again is not to, as they say, beat the sheep. That is just a reality. That's just how it is. And yet God is famous for doing things with Gideon's army, is he not? God will take the few that will step forward and say, you know what? I'll serve. I'll go. I'll be there. I'll do what you asked me to do, Lord. And again, God says, all right, that's great because I get all the more glory. God's going to get the victory no matter what. But again, he says the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And as I said earlier, I don't think any of us are going to regret when we get there saying, Lord, I wish I'd have done less for you. I think we're going to be saying, you know what, Lord, I just thank you, God, that I had the opportunity to serve how I did. Now, again, we need balance on this. We serve him because of what he's done for us. Understand this. It's not what we do for the Lord. It's what the Lord has done for us. But a response to what the Lord has done for us is we step out. We say, all right, Lord, you died for me. I'm going to lay myself down for you. And that means I may have to die to some friendships. I may have to die to some relationships. I may have to die to some lifestyle that I like. But Lord, I'm doing it because you've asked me to, and you did it for me. See, that's the heart of the witness. That's the heart of the missionary. It's interesting here too. Notice he says, send out more laborers. But notice how he says that's supposed to happen. Prayer. It's prayer. It's God moving people's hearts, stirring people's hearts. And I want to challenge us today, this right here, those of us in this room, let's pray for God to stir our hearts, to be the witnesses that he's called us to be. Again, not a works thing, not some kind of making ourselves feel bad because we didn't share 24 hours a day. If you have that kind of propensity, it's easy to fall into that. But let's be praying for each other that we'll share. God, give us boldness. Let us share with all those that we come into, because that is where the boldness comes from. That is where the harvest is reached, is by prayer and simply by God's power through that prayer. Now, it's interesting here. He says that he sent them out. Notice he said, I'm sending you out there to send out laborers, or rather pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. It's interesting here what the word send out means. Literally, it means this: to drive out or to push out with a notion of violence. Isn't that what it takes some of us to get going? You ever been there? It's like, Lord, I want to serve you, but it takes some tragedy in our life before we really step out and get going. It takes something to collapse. Maybe it's somebody dying. Maybe it's an accident that we're in. Maybe it's some, whatever it might be. Oftentimes it takes this major event in our life for God to push us out and for us to say, finally, Lord, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to serve you. I give you everything. And yet, how much easier it would be if we would just say, Lord, before that happens, I give you everything. And I'm not saying that God has to, God's necessarily going to make something tragic happen in your life if you're not going for it in the Lord and giving him your all. What I'm simply saying is this: sadly enough, it oftentimes takes that. It takes the being pushed out of the nest. Well, so we see the privilege here, but now notice the hardship. Now we come to the second thing I want to point out, the hardship. Look at verse 3. The Lord says this. These are encouraging words, right? Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. You know, I'll tell you something. If sheep could understand their shepherd, and he could speak to them, and they knew what he was saying, he said, all right, guys, I want you to go out, and I want you to take a message to all these wolves. What do you think they would do? They would run up, and they would grab onto his sandals, you know? It's like, I'm not going anywhere. What are you talking about? Go to wolves. And yet, that is exactly what God has called us to. Now, let me give this balance. Here's what he's saying is, he has called us as sheep among wolves. Guys, sheep, they get eaten by wolves. Wolves like to eat sheep. However, God has promised that he will be our protection. The Bible says that if we go out in the name of the Lord, whether it be foreign missions or whether it be our workplace, he said, if you go out in the name of the Lord, I will protect you. And I believe there's a scriptural principle that I want to bring up here that's taught in scripture, and that is this. Guys, you're not going anywhere until it's your time. Now, again, you don't have to worry so much about that sharing locally. You don't go to work thinking, hey, they may kill me today if I share. You know, maybe you do. I don't know your workplace. But I'm talking about even on the foreign mission field. If God has called you to a place that might seem dangerous, yes, you're going as a lamb among wolves. And yes, wolves eat sheep and they would like to destroy you. And the world desires to destroy your witness. They desired to destroy Jesus so much they hung him on a cross. Although we know he went there on his own, that was what their desire was to do. But the point is this: until it is your time, you're not going anywhere. God will supernaturally protect you. And we're going to see that principle play out here as well. But the Lord says you're going out, you know, as sheep among wolves. There's another meaning here I want to point out. Not just the danger of what's out there as far as those that hate us, especially in different parts of the world. But the world will sometimes be vicious toward us and want to destroy us. But what's our response? Harmless. Non-aggressive. Non-attacking. They attack us. What do? They attack. We bless. Guys, that's the attitude the Lord's talking about here. It's not so much even just the picture of sheep among wolves and everybody's out there waiting to eat us up. It's this: when we do go out there among them and they are going to be aggressive against the truth of the gospel, then how should we be? We need to be as gentle as lambs. We need to be bold. I'm not saying we're not bold. I'm not saying we don't share a witness, but we need to be gentle in how we share it. You know, there is great hardship in making a full commitment to the Lord. A solid, all-out commitment, there's going to be hardship. That's part of it. This is not some kind of warrior's cry and some kind of, you know, hero type thing. It's just how it is. The Bible says those who live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Will suffer persecution. They're in Timothy. The scripture tells us that. So again, you're going to suffer hardship doing the work of the Lord. You need to be prepared. I think of Nehemiah. It's interesting with us starting our building project. Nehemiah has been in my mind a lot recently. As Nehemiah went back to build the work that the Lord had called him to do, as Nehemiah was repairing the walls, he saw work that God had called him to. Guys, he didn't just walk in town and everybody, you know, pat him on the back. Yes, there were those that were with him. There were those that were behind him. But Nehemiah faced a battle. Where was the first battle? The spiritual realm. Nehemiah was attacked emotionally. He was attacked in fear. He was attacked in all these ways as the enemy tried to tear him down. That's going to be part of ministry. If you step out and say, Lord, I'm going for it. Listen, expect things to get a little bit strange. Don't be surprised with the fiery trial, which is to try you. Don't be shocked when somebody says something to you out of the blue that makes no sense. Don't be shocked. And I've seen this happen more than once with Christians who make that full commitment. They're just minding their own business and somebody starts screaming at them, even driving down the road. I've had people that say, just sitting in their car, somebody just starts yelling at them, profanities and screaming. You're like, where did that come from? I don't even know this person. You know, it's not one of those things where you cut them off either. You're just kind of there and all of a sudden they go nuts. I've had that happen. And I've talked to other believers that have had that happen. Why do you think that happens? Because the enemy stirs up those over whom he controls to give you a hard time. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be hassle. And it wasn't just the spiritual realm. The enemy stirs the fleshly realm. Nehemiah had to face the fleshly realm. He had people lying about him, gossiping about him, slandering about him. Why? And here's the key, Christian, note this. Nehemiah was a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And I want to say this. If you make a full commitment to Jesus Christ, you are going to be a threat to the doors of darkness. And when you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness, guess who's going to be start threatening you? You're going to get attacked. That goes with the territory. Be prepared mentally. Say, all right, I'm going for it, Lord, but don't just think I'm going to go for it and everything's going to go great because now I'm going to be this good Christian and everything's going to go great and everybody's going to love me. No, I'm going to tell you what, people are going to sometimes attack you, sometimes for no reason, oftentimes stirred spiritually and oftentimes stirred in their own flesh because they just don't love the Lord. Be prepared for that. Be ready for it. Nehemiah had to go through it. You know, Nehemiah had God's enemies and spiritual and human shaken in their boots. And so because of that, they attacked him. You know, it's been said that you can know a man by his friends. But I want to say on the Christian side of it, you can also know a man by his enemies. Because if you're a strong Christian, you're going to have them. And I think that's one of the hardest things for me when I stepped into ministry. I always liked everybody and liked everybody to like me. And then suddenly God said, now go and preach the gospel. Start sharing. Go for it. And I said, all right, Lord, great. I had a sudden surprise. And that is there's some people out there that don't like that. And there's some people out there that aren't exactly going to pat me on the back for that. And what Nehemiah found, and one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn was this, sometimes it happens without, sometimes it even happens within the body. Guys, whenever you're making headway and ground for the kingdom, be ready. It's going to come. And it'll come in different forms and fashions. I encourage you to read through Nehemiah. It's a tremendous eye-opener in the spiritual realm and the fleshly realm of the things you're going to have to face when you step out into ministry. And I was told these things when I stepped out, but it's not reality until you do it. It's interesting. Vance Havner said this, any man who takes Jesus Christ seriously becomes a target of the devil. Sadly, he went on to say this, most church members do not give Satan enough trouble to arouse his opposition. Wow. Guys, here's the point. The true mark of a successful ministry is that they will often have great friends, but they will often at the same time have great enemies. Don't be shocked when people don't like you for the stand you make for righteousness. It goes with the territory. That's just part of it. Now, you have, of course, the privilege. You have, of course, the hardship, but you've also got the blessing. It doesn't stop there. It gets better. Notice verse 4. Jesus says to them, carry neither money bag, sack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. And heal the sick who are there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now we step into the third phase of looking at what it means to be called out as a missionary, and that is the blessing. What is the next principle? Our job is to simply obey and go out in his name, and the Lord promises he'll supply the need. The Lord says, just do what I've asked you to do. Now, again, for the foreign mission field, that's much more applicable. God's going to provide the need. But what about locally? God says, listen, if you will be faithful to do what I've asked you to do, I'll supply the need. Notice he said, no money bag, no sack for supplies, no extra shoes. That's the point he's making. He will make sure that the needs are met. I'll read you something out of Matthew 6:33. Listen what the Lord said, speaking in context of being a witness for him, trusting in him, and about the just creature needs of life, if you will. He says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Guys, what a wonderful principle that is. Here's what the Lord's saying. Grab this. He's saying, listen, if you will seek me first, I will make sure you have a job. I will make sure your bills are paid. I will make sure you have food on the table. I will make sure your insurance is covered. I will make sure all of your things are taken care of. Simply, if you'll do this, seek first the kingdom of God. Our problem is what? Sometimes we panic and we seek first the kingdom of man. Oh, Lord, I need this. I need that. How am I going to pay for that? What am I going to do? He says, whoa. He says, you've got it all backwards. It's all in reverse. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Guys, this is a glorious promise. This is not just a divine hopeful. It's a promise from the Lord. Seek first the kingdom. And this was also, I believe, and I know it was for the disciples. It was to strengthen their faith and to strengthen their trust in the Lord. There's nothing like having to step out and put the Lord first in strengthening your faith. Some of you have been in that position where you didn't have any choice. It wasn't a matter of whether or not you were going to put your trust in the Lord or your resources. It was a matter of, I don't have any resources. I've got to put my trust in the Lord. And you saw him wonderfully come through, did you not? See, that's the God we serve. It increases our faith and increases our trust. And that's what it did for these guys. He said, you know what? Go for it. I'll take care of you. Now notice he says this too. Greet no one along the road. What does he mean? He doesn't mean to be rude. You know, don't say hi to people as you walk by them. You have to understand in this culture, a greeting was something that was extensive. When you met people there, you talked for a long time. You asked about their family, about how they were, about they asked about yours. You spent time together. It was this long, drawn-out greeting. The Lord had sent them on a specific mission. Get out there, go to the places I'm going before I get there, and make sure it's prepared when I get there. He said, don't waste time in these long greetings. He's not speaking against fellowship here. He's talking about specifically when we're out doing the work of the Lord, make sure that we're diligent about it. And on this particular mission, it was a short term mission. There wasn't time to do this kind of stuff. And he says, say, notice peace to this house. Again, those that are peaceful to the good news, stay with. Those that are not, we simply move on. And there's another principle here for missions, foreign and local. Guys, the Lord doesn't force himself on anyone. The Bible says that you share Jesus Christ and you share his peace with them, but if they reject it, move on. Pray for them, love them. But again, the Bible warns us, is don't throw pearls to swine. You know, God's word is a pearl. And if it's going to be trampled on, don't waste it. He says, simply pray until their heart's ready and their heart's prepared. Another very important principle here. And notice he says, you know, whatever people give to you, receive. You know, when you're out serving the Lord, don't feel guilty about your needs being taken care of. Why? Because the workman is worthy of his wages. And he says also, don't go from house to house. It was a really telling them, be content where you are. Wherever I send you, be content. And also they had a custom there where they would go from house to house. And again, in this fellowship. I mean, the Middle East is a very fellowship-oriented place. I mean, the families are families, and I mean, they all hang out and they spend lots of time together. It's very different than it is in America. Now, the South, we're a little bit more fellowship and family oriented, but not so out West. That's how it is in the Middle East. There's this long, drawn out time of spending time together. The Lord is saying, look, there's nothing wrong in spending time with people, but on this mission I'm sending you on, be diligent. Don't waste time. I'll be coming shortly behind you. Get the work done. So be careful in your time management, if you will. And also notice here, and again, we'll get to the power position here in just a minute, or the power that he brings up, the point that we're going to make on that. But notice he says, heal the sick. Again, another truth about sharing our faith is, yes, we get blessed. But guys, the people we share with get blessed as well. When you share with that person at work, when you share with that person in your family or whoever you're sharing with, they have needs. Right now, some of you in here have great needs. And some of you are here this morning because of the needs you have. And right now your heart's crying out saying, God, speak to me. Speak to me in this area. Lord, meet me in this area of need, whatever it might be. And we, as always, invite you that to come up afterwards to pray. We want to pray with you. But that's what you get to do is you go out. You get to pray with other people. You get to share their concerns. And God will give you the power to do it. But notice what he says. You go out and you pray, but who gets the glory? Notice he says that the Lord gets the glory. It's the Lord is the one that gets it. He says, you go out in my name and do these things, and I will get the glory. He says, let them know that the kingdom of God has come near them. Verse 10, but whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you. Now, those are the ones that receive you. Here's how you deal with those that don't receive you. Go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. Now, let me give this balance. I don't think that means if we go to work and we share with our boss that, no, I don't really think I believe it. We start wiping our shoes off, you know. I shake off the very dust of you. Well, you're fired. You know, that's probably not going to be the wisest thing to do. That's not what the Lord is saying here. Remember this point. The Bible teaches that the more you know, the more accountable you are to the truth. The Jews knew the word of God. They knew their Messiah was coming. They had been taught about Moses and the scriptures their entire life. They grew up learning it. They were trained in it. From the earliest of ages, they were trained. The Lord says, if you go and share me with them, they have no excuse. Wipe the dust off your feet. See, understand, this would be the greatest insult you could give to a Jew. Because when the Jews went into Gentile lands, who they said were simply lost and were only created for the fires of hell, when they went into the Gentile lands and they came back into Israel, guess what they did? They dusted their feet off. They said, we don't even want this Gentile dirt coming into our land because it is so filthy. And now the Lord says, you say to those Jews who think they're so great, but won't hear the truth. And oh, they've got their religion in order, but they won't hear the truth of Jesus Christ. He said, dust your feet off and let them know that not even the very dust from their village you want to travel with you. This would have been a major, major rebuke and would have been quite the insult, I guess, if you will, to them. But again, the Lord making his point rather clearly. And again, because they were accountable. But notice this, both who received and those who rejected were told the kingdom of God was near. Remember, he said, those who received, tell them the kingdom of God has come near. Now he says, those who don't receive, tell them the kingdom of God has come near. Why? Because the Bible teaches that no man on judgment day will have excuse. Did you know that? On judgment day, there will be no one in this room nor anywhere around the world that will have excuse and say, but Lord, I didn't hear. Oh yeah, Mark, but what about the pygmy? You know, what about the guy that's an unreached? You know, if we could just get that guy saved, all of our arguments would be over with as far as people that don't know the Lord. Just pray for that one pygmy wherever he is, and then they don't have that argument anymore. But guys, listen, the Bible simply says that all men will be without excuse. And in Romans chapter 1, it says that even by creation, God reveals himself to mankind. What that means is the pygmy in the deepest of Africa, the person who's never heard, God says, by my very creation, I myself will reveal myself to them. Now, I'm not saying they'll know the name Jesus. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I trust him. And I know he says that when we stand before him, there's not going to be anyone that has excuse. Notice here, if these guys don't have excuse, those that have heard it, those that have not heard it, no one has excuse before the Lord. But what's more importantly today for you is, guess what? You don't have any excuse, especially now. Someone just told you that all of mankind is condemned without Jesus Christ. Unless you receive him in your heart, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And now when you stand before the Lord on judgment day and say, but Lord, nobody told me. Oh yeah, remember that day? Remember March 28th there at Calvary Chapel? Remember that guy told you that? Oh, yeah, that's right. I hate him. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember hearing a story about somebody that shared the Lord with somebody from China, and they never heard about it. And after they shared, they said, you know what? I wish you'd never told me that. That makes me very upset. And he said, why? He said, because I had never heard about Jesus Christ, and I would never have to worry about it. He said, but now there's something in me that bothers me. And he said, if I'd never heard it, I would have never had to worry. I wish you'd have never told me. Guys, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And right now, some of you are sitting in here and you don't know the Lord. And right now, God's pounding on your heart saying, you know what? You need to give your life to the Lord because you're going to stand there one day and there's not going to be any excuse. Listen, that feeling that you're feeling, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the one tugging on you saying, look, this is the time. Today's the day you need to give your life to the Lord. That's how it works. And that's exactly what we do as we go out and share and as we, tell people about the Lord. Now, notice what he says in verse 12. Speaking again of these cities who were so accountable again, he says, but I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than it is for this city. Whoa, more tolerable for Sodom? Not only Gentiles, but what the Jews considered the worst of Gentiles, this would have been blasphemy to them. He said, but it's going to be worse for them than the day that I judged Sodom. Why? Again, we said accountability. Guys, note this. Sodom had not seen what they had seen. Sodom had not heard what they had heard. Sodom had not been taught what they had been taught. And again, what does Luke 12:48 say? Listen to this. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. In other words, the more you know, the more accountable you are. Guys, before you came to the Lord living in your sin, you know what? You weren't nearly as accountable as you are today now, because now you know it's wrong. And now if you go back and do it, you know what? It's interesting to me when I see Christians, and I've seen this, Christians who know better fall away and fall back in the world. Guys, in the world, it seemed like almost no consequences. It seemed like you're almost getting away with your sin, at least for many of us. And then suddenly you give your life to the Lord. Guess what? Now you've got a dad who spanks. Our Heavenly Father. And when believers veer off, all of a sudden we see things begin to happen in our life and we're saying, man, I know I'm miserable and I know I'm not where I should be, but why is all this happening? Because the divine hand of God's chastisement is on your life to bring you back to him. Why? Because he hates you? No, because he loves you. And the Lord says, it's time to come home. And again, it's this accountability thing here. He says, notice he goes on now just again in judgment. So these other cities that have rejected, almost this, you see this outburst of emotion. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, by the way, they're Gentiles, they didn't know better. You, Bethsaida, Chorazin, you knew the word of God. If it had happened over here in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a great while ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. You would have seen them broken. But no, not you guys. You've got your religion together, he's saying to Bethsaida and Chorazin. You don't need the Lord. You think you've got it all together. He says, but it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Again, this is heavy. Now, it's interesting here. We don't know what mighty works he did in Chorazin and Bethsaida. The Bible didn't tell us any. Isn't that interesting? The Bible tells us no mighty works that were done in Chorazin and Bethsaida. And yet he says, if the mighty works had been done there, you know, were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Guys, we don't know half the things the Lord did. Wouldn't it be neat to know them all? I wish we knew everything he did, but we don't. You know, John 21 says this in verse 25. John speaking said, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Isn't that interesting? And yet just what we see blows us away. The Lord says, you know, there's a lot more. If the mighty works had been done there, man, they would have repented. He goes on and says, now Capernaum, remember this was his headquarters up there in Galilee. He says, and you, Capernaum, this was the greatest city there on the Galilee next to the Sea of Galilee, who are exalted to heaven will be thrust down to Hades. Now, this is interesting. Capernaum means village of comfort. And yet it was, they were seeking the comforts of the world rather than the comforts of the Spirit. And what the Lord is saying here is that, you know what? Those who seek the comforts of the world rather than seeking the comforts of the Spirit. Now, let me say this. Is it wrong to be comfortable? Is it wrong to, there's nothing wrong in not hurting or having clothes so you're not cold or having a place to sleep so you don't get rained on. That's not what I'm talking about when I say the comforts. I'm saying that those who seek the comforts of the world and the sin of the world and the ways of the world to try to satisfy their heart is just like Capernaum was, the village of comfort. They were seeking the worldly things. They thought they were exalted. They were lifted up above everyone, they thought. And yet, what does the Lord say? He says, you will be thrust down to Hades. It gives this picture, a notion of almost violence, this thrusting down because you've sought the comfort of the world. I think the best example is Moses, our example of denying the comforts and the pleasures of the world to seek God. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Note this, for he looked to the reward. Here's what it's saying. Moses said, you know what? Hey, I've got it all. My dad's the leader of the known world at that time, Egypt. I'm his son. I live in the palace. I've got everything I want. Look at the Jews. They're so abused for their faith. They're so abused for their belief. They've got a terrible life. They're poor, they're stomping in mud, they're making their lives awful. You know what? I think I'm going to make a choice. Who do I want to live with? Right here or right there? I'm going to choose the Jews. Okay, do you see what's happening here? What he's saying is, yes, the world does offer in its ways. If you seek the ways of the world, there are offers, especially in America, where you can have the good life. And again, nothing wrong in being blessed. That's not the point here. But what he's saying is, what is our attitude? Is our attitude after the comforts of the world, or is our attitude after the comforts of the Lord? Moses said, you know what? They can have it. They can have it. I want Jesus. And if the Lord gives me stuff in the midst of me having Jesus, great, I'll take it. That's wonderful. But where my focus is not going to be on how well my business is doing, my focus is going to be on Jesus Christ. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. Guys, that's where the true commitment comes in. That's where the true witness is. And that is where I believe all of us are called to be. It's hard in this environment because people, again, in this environment, there's so many temptations around us. But again, that's not the point. The point is where are we going to put our priorities? Notice he says here in verse 16, he says, and he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Notice as he finishes up this section, this relation that he makes, he says, if someone rejects us when we're sharing Jesus, in reality, who are they rejecting? They're rejecting the Lord, exactly. And if they reject Jesus, in reality, who are they rejecting? God. You ever hear people say, well, you guys have your own religion. We've got our own religion. We're getting to God our own way. What did Jesus say? You can't get there any other way except by me. And Jesus said, if they reject you, they're rejecting me. If they reject me, they're rejecting the Father, because you can't get to the Father except through Jesus. And that is the Jesus of the Scriptures. I was sharing with a Jewish girl one time, and I point out that she's Jewish because that was her problem, was dealing with Jesus. She said, I know I need God. I know I want God in my life. And I feel this tug, I feel this pull, but I just want to get there. Can I get there without going through Jesus? You don't understand. Jews, we just can't receive Jesus. We believe we're laying down everything that we are. We just can't go through Jesus. Is there another way that I can get there? And I told her, I'm sorry, the scripture says there is no other way to get there except Jesus. It seems to me like if you're going to be rejected by your community, that you need to reject your community and find the one that's going to receive you eternally. Again, not the exact words, but the point is I shared with her, that is, you can't get there any other way. It's not going to be done any other way. We are the Lord's ambassador. And you know what? When people reject you, understand this, who are they truly rejecting? They're not rejecting you. When you go out as the Lord's witness, guys, they're rejecting Jesus. It's not you they're rejecting. He's the only one that can get them there, and our job is to take them there. Well, where does that leave us today? This is not, again, to try to beat you down. I mean, you know, we can all get the sermons about you need to pray more. You need to share more. You need to read the Bible more. And every single one of us will leave her with our heads hung low going, that's right. I need to pray more. I need to read more. I need to serve more. I'm failing. Listen, that's not what this is about. All of us come up short. Every one of us. The Lord knows we're weak. The Lord knows our weaknesses. He knows our frame. What did David say? Lord, remember that I'm only dust. That very stuff they want to scrape off their feet, that's what I'm made of. You can't expect much from a dust speck. And oftentimes I remind the Lord of that. I say, God, remember, like David, remember, I'm only dust. And so we say, God, have mercy on us. But even as dust, the Lord says, you know what? Trust me. Step out in my name. Step out in the power that I give you to follow me. And I will do in you what I've asked you to do. Guys, are we witnesses? I want to ask us that today. Challenge yourself in your heart. Again, not to beat you up, but I want to challenge you with this. Are you a witness today for Jesus Christ? Now, let me give you the other two kinds. Yeah, Mark, I'm a silent witness. I'm a silent witness. That's good. I'm glad you're a silent witness. That's very good. But if people in your office die thinking you're the nicest person in the world, but they don't know why, they're not going to be led to Christ. I'm not opposed to living a life that is seen by the world, that they can see something is different. But let me say this, Jesus never told us to be silent witnesses. The silent witness is simply an addition to what we're called to do. Jesus said this, what you hear in the ear, do what? Shout from the rooftops. Yeah, he didn't say keep it to yourself. Anybody that tells you religion's a private matter, they don't know our God, or at least they don't know his word, and maybe they don't believe it. Religion is not a private matter. Certainly Jesus Christ is not a private matter. Guys, he came to the world to save us. And he came to this world to save maybe some of you in here today, maybe that don't even know him yet. But what I want to challenge us to do is simply this, not to let us leave here thinking about how we're a failure, how we need to do more for the Lord. No, it's what he has done for us. We simply respond back to what he's done for us. But to challenge us in this, let's do like Paul did. Let's go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need boldness. You've called me to be a witness, and everywhere that I go and everything that I do, I find that I'm not being that witness. And God, I ask that you would make me that witness. And if you're being a witness for the Lord, let's ask him to give you more boldness, because that's what the Lord's desire is. Next week, we'll move on and finish on through the last portion, and we'll see the power that we talked about, that power that's promised. But let me say this, God has promised power. We simply need to ask him for it and ask him to give us that power and ask him through that power to give us boldness. Why don't we pray and let's ask him to do it even now. Let's pray. Father, we do just right now come to you, Lord, and ask that you would make us witnesses. Lord, what a privilege and an honor it is to be sent out in your name to bring the message to the world that you got to bring, Lord, that you yourself brought. We now get to bring that. And yet, Lord, you know our frame. You know that we're weak. You know that we oftentimes lack boldness. We oftentimes lack courage. But God, we know that's a move of your Spirit. It only comes by the Spirit. So, Lord, you've asked us to do it, but you've given us the tools to do it with. We ask now, Lord, that you would come upon us with your Spirit right now. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us to be the witnesses that you've called us to be. And let us enjoy the privilege that you've given us, Lord, in sharing you. But, Lord, we need your power to do it. And, Father, I want to pray this morning for those here maybe that don't even know you yet. Or maybe there's some this morning, Lord, that are saying, hey, I've never even, you know, been witnessed to. Or maybe I have and I haven't received it. Lord, maybe they've had the seed planted. Maybe they've had it watered. But today is harvest time, Lord. You're calling them to yourself. Lord, I pray that you would stir their heart to now give their life and their heart to you, Lord. And God, we thank you for your faithfulness and for your love. Lord, use us. Make us your witnesses. And now send us out in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.